Church.
Okay, before we begin, so Jason, if you can just join with me, and just for the others, just for us to be, just come together, just for a moment. And just to remember our purpose, keeping that in mind. And the purpose being for healing, for awakening, for clarity, for peace of mind. And just for reaffirming my desire, just inviting Jason in that, just for us to be truly helpful in sharing these ideas so that we're led to an experience that may give us clarity, that may shed light, open our minds, see things perhaps a little differently. Just asking Holy Spirit, our inner wisdom, just to guide us throughout. Okay, so first of all, I just wanted to just introduce Jason a little bit and then kind of have him talk about his journey. So I've known Jason, we've actually never met, but we've had many very deep conversations and joining through Skype and phone and email over the last couple of years since I became a student in the online training called Mystical Mind Training that's provided through Living Miracles Monastery, basically the teachings of David Hoffmeister. And I got to know Jason because he's really a big part of, you know, one of the, and Jason can talk about this more, one of the organizers of this program and many talks that he shared in there, and just wonderful tools for awakening. And so through that, I started to have more and more conversations with Jason, and I always found him to be so helpful in giving such clarity to the teachings. So there was no confusion. There was absolutely no confusion. And Jason's background, which is interesting, he was a mechanical engineer. He's originally from Canada, but then had this deep calling for God, for an experience of God. And that led him to be where he is right now at the Living Miracles Monastery in Utah. But he does do retreats and joining and gatherings really throughout the world and connected with, you know, students throughout the world. So, Jason, would you like to talk a little bit maybe about your path that led you to the work that you're doing now?
Sure. Yeah, well, like probably many on this call, there was always just a strong sense of searching for something more than the regular everyday. Maybe like seeing the movie Brothers from Sister Moon, St. Francis of Assisi. He just said there's got to be more than this work every day, you know, go home, wake up, go work every day just to maintain the body and be something, like a separate person in the world. It just, it never resonated with me. So when I saw that movie and saw the way that David Hoffmeister lived and Ramana Maharshi and just different mystics, it just kind of propelled me that I too can kind of lift myself above the laws of the world and live under a different set of laws, the laws of God. And yet I had no idea how to do that. I tried every self-help book imaginable and even became a youth minister in Science of Mind or Ernest Holmes. And they were all great stepping stones, but it wasn't until I actually met David and realized there was an unconscious that needed to be seen and exposed and made conscious that I realized, wow, this is going to be a totally different kind of journey than I thought. If I'm going to remember the power of my mind, which is what, you know, the movie The Secret and Manifestation and all self-help is really trying to help you do, is remember the power of your mind. But it's like an iceberg. You're just aware of 10% on top and you're not aware of the 90% below. And that's running your life as well. Then it seems like the power of your mind is pretty tiny, actually. And some other force is like controlling you almost. Like Ben Affleck, like I heard him in an interview once, said that kind of been getting in touch with this anger or something that is not of him. And so when I met David, my life just became about joining with Mighty Companions to expose and release, you know, that unconscious that isn't personal. Everyone who walks the earth really does believe it's their own thoughts and their own personal unconscious, but it's not. And so when we join together and give ourselves permission to open up our minds and let whatever's down there up, you actually see that underneath it all, you know, the true you is there, and the Holy Spirit is you, and Jesus has been guiding us all along to remember our true identity. So, yeah, my life for the past 10 years or so, moving between the monastery here and Mexico and Europe with gatherings, has all been about keeping these ideas in awareness and joining with my brothers and sisters to wake up from the dream of separation and remember true health, which is happiness, peace of mind, and it's available to us now. Thank you.
Yeah. So actually, Jason, I got a couple of messages that are saying that your voice is echoing. So I'm not sure.
How's this?
Okay, let me check in. I'm hearing it fine, but let me just check in with that.
I'll just talk like this and see if people. I hear my own voice in my ear.
Okay,
it's echoing
for
me.
Is it echoing for you? Okay, then maybe. Okay, it's much better. So let's just continue, and my two helpers will let me know. Okay, so we'll just continue, and they'll let us know.
Okay.
So can you tell us, I mean, you said so many profound things, that search, you know, the deep calling that all the mystics have had for something more, and that something more, what I was hearing you say with David Hoffmeister, the permission to let go of what stands in the way of that more. So it's not going towards it that's the solution, but it's that impels your journey, but it's letting go of all the stuff that's, you know, in the collective unconscious. And I totally resonate with that. And I feel the Course in Miracles really gave me permission to really do that. And it made sense. It made sense why the other paths I'd been using were helpful, but something wasn't really connecting. But can you share with us that story that when you were, I think this was not when you were quite at the monastery yet, but you had that experience where, you know, many of us, while we're called, let's say, towards, you know, whether it's searching for God or the truth, many of us are called for service. And you had that experience. This was, I think, in Europe, this idea of it wasn't changing the world, but changing your mind. I think it's a great story. Could you share that?
Part of the journey, for me, a big part of it, I really resonated with the Christian idea. And just to let you know, I can really hear my own voice, but I'm okay if...
Let's just continue, and they'll let me know if there's an issue. But let's just keep going.
Okay.
We'll
see how it goes.
Yeah. Really resonated with the typical Christian idea, which is, I want to be used by you, God, because I so wanted to be in service and done through. And actually, the Course in Miracles really resonates with that path, where he says, if you listen to my guidance and do exactly what I would have you do, I will unwind you from the dream of separation. Yeah, it's quite, the feedback is quite loud for me. Let me just see here.
Yeah, they're saying that it's louder, but there's an echo. Are you on speakerphone or?
No, I have a headset. I tried that first, and then I could Skype in maybe. But I'm calling you from my mobile, so it's on my head.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not sure. I and it's funny because I can hear you fine too. I'm not appreciating the echo, but. Do you want to maybe call back again? Maybe just hang up and call in again? Maybe that'll help?
Yeah, let me see if I can hear an echo right now. Yeah,
okay.
Okay, you want me to just hang up and call in?
Yeah, that'll be fine. That'll be fine.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, so we'll just kind of allow that. So hopefully we'll have a better quality. So we'll just be patient for another minute or so, and hopefully it'll all work out. So while we're waiting for Jason to join us in again, okay. Let's see.
I'm back.
Okay. All right. Let's see how it. Are you hearing an echo on your end?
I'm hearing a tiny one, but it's better for me.
Okay. All right. Let me just see how it is. It's hard because I'm not hearing it. So I'm just depending on the others who are on the other side. So why don't you continue? Why don't you talk to us about the whole idea of the service and how that was part of your path?
Yeah, well, even Ramana Maharshi said that if you want to wake up, there's two ways. You can question the I, you know, who is the I, and do inner inquiry. Or you can surrender yourself to the divine and do whatever the divine asks you to do. And that, to me, is really just a small synopsis, the second one, of A Course in Miracles, where it's not really a course in teaching you what love is. Love is who you are, and it cannot be taught. But we can, through guidance, learn to be put in different situations and states of mind where we actually let go of the ego in which we are by ourselves. That we put in our own way love's awareness. And as all the blocks are removed, all that's left is love. So service is a way of being done through until we completely identify with that higher power. It's not really separate from us, but we kind of follow instructions until we have emerged. So I always resonated with that idea. And so I feel like Jesus, who I call the Holy Spirit for myself, really met me there when I was in Albania, and I was living for a year.
Mm-hmm.
And one morning, at 2 a.m, I woke up with this idea, kind of like a flash, that I would clean up the village of 4,000 people that I left as I was living with, because Albania was one of the most communistic countries in the world. And once communism fell, like 1990 or whatever, they started to see all these images of New York, Los Angeles, and they were so enraged at their government for having trapped them, so to speak, because they couldn't really leave. That
mm-hmm.
the way that they could rebel was they threw all their garbage in public places, and there was no garbage collection system. So everywhere was filled with garbage. I mean, think of it as a Westerner walking down the street, and you got a banana peel and a juice box, and there's no garbage bin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just got to throw it on the street. It was a good letting go. But I still had this kind of need to save the world or help. And underneath it was some arrogance and pride because I had worked in Kosovo and other war-torn areas and third world countries, always trying to help those that were, like I, at the time, just perceived as unfortunate or, you know, not as blessed as I was. So I was trying to share, ultimately, what it is I had. But I soon realized that underneath that desire to share, there was still a belief of inequality, and I needed some healing. So I feel like the Spirit gave me this vision to clean up the village of poor, and he told me how many garbage bags to buy, how much to pay the workers, how many workers I would need. It gave me this all in a flash. And so I figured, okay, this is of the Spirit. It will come from him. I won't have to do anything. So I just kind of told my girlfriend at the time, and she said, oh, we're going to have to fundraise. And I said, no. I'm not going to fundraise. This is of God. You know, he can fundraise. And so my brother invited me to Costa Rica, and I met these two doctors there and told them about this vision I had, and ended up going back to Albania. And the day I woke up and told my girlfriend, wow, this idea is really strong in my mind. I think I'm supposed to move forward on this. And she said again, well, let's fundraise. And I said, no, I can't do that. I went to my email, and the two doctors had written me a message saying, we just were so inspired by your vision. We want to give you the amount of money that we feel guided to give you, which is something like $800 to this project. And it was actually the amount I'd had in my vision, and I'd never told them. So I got the $800 and started making all these posters and put them up for people to come and help clean up this village. Well, in a country that had 70% unemployment, you know, in America and Canada, you hear 6-7%, and everybody's like, oh, my God, that's terrible, or 8% high or something. Here they have 70%. Put up all these posters, and the average daily wage there was $7 a day, and I was going to pay $10. I put up these posters saying I'd pay $10 a day, and I got zero responses.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of blown away. I thought, wow. But what had happened is this rebellion for throwing away garbage had so much pride underneath it that nobody wanted to work to clean up the garbage because it was like going against the status symbol of being a rebel. And so it really showed me that unemployment and all of these terms in the world that we try to change, like, oh, you need to find people work, or you need to do this. It's really a consciousness underneath it, and it's not what we think it is. So I thought, well, I still want to follow this vision. And I actually worked at a handicap center full-time, mentally and physically disabled. And so I went to all of them, and they'd already had all those pride strips, because to be mentally disabled in Albania actually meant that you were less than, because somehow you had some kind of a sin, which actually the course talks about, that when your body is sick or you're mentally sick, so to speak, to yourself, we probably have to get into this after this parable, but you believe that a greater punishment is going to come, and so you're punishing yourself. We're so afraid of the love of God on a very deep level that we use things like sickness to keep that love at bay. And we could go into that some more, but a kind of a classic parable is, you know, when you're younger and you have a brother or a sister and you're in a fight, and you punch them really hard, and they scream and they say, I'm going to go tell mom and dad. And you say, no, I'll punch myself. You punch yourself, try to keep the other punishment of the parent at bay. That's what sickness is. We're so afraid, because of this deep guilt we have in our mind that God's going to punish us, we seem to get sick. So anyways, at this handicap center I worked at, there they believed that, you know, it was like some kind of punishment if their kids got sick, so they sent them all off to this clinic that I lived at. So they already had all of their pride hit. So I looked around and said, which one of you guys want to work for $10 a day? And they all put up their hands. So I had like 29 kids. Some of them were in wheelchairs. So the mentally disabled pushed the physically disabled in the wheelchairs, and they used these tongs to pick up this garbage. So there was like 29 of us trying to clean up a village of 4,000. You know, all of us, well, most of us, like, physically or mentally handicapped, and we just weren't getting very far, but I trusted the vision. So all of a sudden, this the mayor of the town came out and saw what we were doing, and he said, "Oh, my God, this is so amazing. I really support this. Why don't you go get the kids of the local school to help you?" I said, "Oh, we already tried," but the principal said no, he wouldn't let the kids out because the parents would hate him because they don't want their kids picking up garbage. So he's just got, he got so fiery and firm, like the spirit had taken over his mind. He said, "That's it." So he ran to the principal at the school and said, "If you don't get your kids out there in 10 minutes, I'm going to cut your funding for the next year." So within like half an hour, we had 250 kids out there with us, 29 of us, cleaning up this village. And because of the vision, I had bought 500 pairs of gloves. And so I was able to give almost everybody at least two pairs, if not one glove. And within 6 hours, we had cleaned up the whole village, hundreds, if not thousands of garbage bags. We had to hire an extra dump truck to come take this garbage away. And at the end of it, I just kind of thought, wow, we did a good job. You know, I could feel a little bit of pride coming in and paid everybody and went to sleep and just kind of woke up. Oh, good job. And then I looked out my window, and in the street, I just looked and watched as people just continued to throw their garbage everywhere. And I thought if I had started it, they would have carried it on. And I just felt my heart sink. And then I looked over in some of the bins that we couldn't empty because we didn't get enough dump trucks. And the birds and the dogs had gotten in and just were spreading it all around again. And I just went into prayer and I said, "Okay, what is going on? I followed your instructions, Jesus." And he said to me, he said, "This is your Buddhist sand mandala. I never want you again to focus on trying to change the external world. It is going to be an entirely internal journey from here on out." For those of you who don't know, the sand mandala, the Buddhists work very intricately on these beautiful drawings, and at the end of it, they wash it away into the river. And the whole message to me was basically, you're not going to invest your mind energy in trying to save the world or fix anything. Time now to look at this unconscious. And that's, within a month, I was hooked up with David again and the mighty companions that came into my life to clean the perceptual, you know, the belief system in my mind that caused me to even see a problem in the world, including a dirty city that needed to be fixed. So it was a pretty deep lesson where the Spirit used the symbol to bring me into a deeper sense of peace.
Yeah, and that's a great, I think, a launching into this idea that it's an, like the message you received, that it's an internal journey. So the whole thing of sickness, when we think of sickness, first of all, even when we read that lesson, sickness is a defense against the truth. The mind, or at least I know my mind, being a physician, automatically jumps to the body, that the body is sick, or even the mind, like mental illness. And so that turn, just to make that turn, I think, is a radical shift. It's a paradigm shift. And I can tell, I can feel in my experience as a physician, excuse me, you know, I had this experience where I had a client and I was doing holistic medicine and all that, and she said that I feel like I'm chasing health. And at that time, I didn't really think about it, but it came to me this morning when we were going to do this thing together. And I thought about chasing health, how there's so much about health being, you know, the right way to eat, the right way to exercise, what supplements to take, what not to eat, what not to do. You know, you can go on and on how to take care of the body and exposure to sun and exercise and so many things. And when you get into the complementary alternative field, it gets even more complicated because we find more and more information and people, you know, are trying to apply it. So it does become an external journey. So can you talk about how, you know, just that part, like even as a premise, that the course is so radical when it says health is inner peace and that illness is of the mind, and that's where we want to put our attention to. So I feel that might be a launching point into the lesson. And in terms of talking, maybe could we have you try to do just, talking just into the phone, maybe? Maybe that would make a difference with the echo?
Yeah, you still hear an echo?
Some of the others on the call were texting me that they did. And it's funny because I don't hear it, so I can only, yeah, but two other people. So maybe we can just try it. I mean, we'll just do the best we can. It'll be fine.
Okay. I'm talking into the phone now.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, so what, just kind of this idea of it is an internal journey. Let's just, that sickness, you know, the source of it, right? The source of it is inside. So can you walk us through that?
Yeah, well, I really resonated at a certain point in my life with, like, Louise Hay, where it wasn't just simply where you go to the doctor to get your back fixed, your lower back, that there was some other element at play. And, you know, she wrote this beautiful book, You Can Heal Your Life, and she would identify, for example, if your lower back was hurting, that perhaps you weren't feeling supported in your life and had to find a way to you know, ask for support or give support and find a way to heal the mind, the thoughts, and then the body would reflect it. And I think that many have experienced a lot of value in that. But then the deeper you go, you still start to see, like, I don't know if you've ever played that game where you bat those like little moles that show up at, like, in an arcade game, and you try to go as quick as you can and you hit the heads of these little gophers that come out. And the faster you hit them, you know, you get more points. You know that game?
Yeah.
But they keep coming up, right? They never go away.
Yeah.
And so even with this thing, whenever you'd have a body symptom and then you go and say, oh, well, what am I thinking or what thought caused that? It's still that game of whack-a-mole. You'll always have another symptom. It'll never end.
Right.
And so
right.
I feel like the Course in Miracles is saying there's a way now to break even that false cause and effect, that somehow you have anything to do with body sickness. And Jesus in the Course in Miracles starts to give us some really powerful metaphysics and clarity that actually, when you start to get close to truth and remember who you are, the ego throws up sickness, whether it be seemingly mental or physical, so that you will take your mind energy and try to solve the problem of the body or the mental sickness, as opposed to allowing the spirit to rise your mind into truth and love. And the more you go into trying to solve the body sickness, it affirms that you are a body, and therefore you are at the mercy of the ego. So that's why lesson 136 is so powerful. Sickness is a defense against the truth. Even says here, Defenses are not intentional, nor are they made without awareness. They are secret magic wands you wave when truth appears to threaten what you would believe. They seem to be unconscious because a lot of people will say, well, who in their right mind would ever choose sickness? And yeah, nobody in their right mind would. It's just that it happens so quickly when you're afraid of love that the ego just seems to grab that mind energy and throw it into a body pain. And so that's why it's so important to listen to guidance and another plan to get out of the dream of separation so we don't focus too much on those bodily symptoms.
So, yeah, and I remember one of the things that connected me to you, Jason, is because I heard you talk about just this very thing about Louise Hay. Because I, too, had read Louise Hay. Even, you know, when I was in medical school, I was thinking about these things because I was also feeling that it's in the mind. I mean, I didn't know where in the mind, but intuitively, I just had a sense. And so Louise Hay was one of my first teachers, you know, through that book you mentioned. And I would look at the symptoms, and I would look at the thought patterns, and I would practice them. And I sometimes there were results, but I did feel that sense. Again, I was chasing. And I remember you were talking about that, and I think this was like you had talked about this like cough that you had had for a long time, and that, you know, we don't have to go back into the past. So even if, let's say, we've made this journey where we started to see that to really enjoy, you know, health, it's more important to just attend to the mind and not be so focused on the body. And so we've made that kind of leap, right? That's a paradigm shift, and we've done that. But then it's like what I'm hearing and what I heard from the course and that conversation is like, no, we've got to go even deeper. We can't just say it's a mind-body thing or you thought wrong thoughts and you got to change that. That's still an ego way to work. That's still at an ego level. So you talked about how we don't have to go into the past and figure out, like, well, what trauma from the past did this? I mean, sometimes that can be a part of, you know, people's journey. You often talk, when you're talking to students, I know you talk about to be right here in this moment and see what decisions or what thoughts are happening right now. Can you talk to us about that?
Yeah, well, it's a present moment decision, and I would say rather than, like, the story that comes to my mind is David Hoffmeister and a friend of mine, Kirsten Buxton, and another lady, I think it was even Mary Gerard Lenihan, who some of you might know if you were at the Vegas conference. They were doing this beautiful gathering, and they walked out, and to them came a man who had a limp and a stutter, and he said, I need some money to buy an inhaler. He needed some money to buy like a new inhaler packet. And the three of them were so high after their gathering, they just looked at him almost like not even understanding, you know, the words or what he was saying, but just feeling his love and his presence underneath it all. And he just looked at them, the guy who walked up to them, and said, what's wrong with you people? Can't you see I'm in pain and suffering? And they just started talking about their gathering and how beautiful time they had, and asked him where he's from and what his life is like. And they had this beautiful 10 or 20 minute discussion. And then David just reached into his wallet and pulled out $10 and gave it to him. And the guy just said, thank you so much, and walked away without a stutter and without a limp. And it was really just showing that in the moment, if you do not give power to the victim mentality that wants to arise and just follow the guidance of the Holy Spirit and stay what we call in true empathy, like in The Horse Whisperer, if you've watched Robert Redford deal with that horse and Scarlett Johansson, he stays so firm in the truth. You can literally hold a space that for those who seemingly want to, you know, perceive sickness can just dissolve. That's what happened with Mary Baker Eddy. She was so firm in her truth that she'd ride her carriage down the road. People would be in the streets, would literally walk
and if they were disabled or sickness would disappear. And Jesus too, you know, as he would be about his mission, lots of healings happened around him, but he never consciously tried to heal things. He would always say, "Your faith has healed you," because he would join so deeply in mind that if it served the whole, the reflections would shift, but it's never a focus.
Right. Right. Yeah, because the Course teaches us, it even says, don't ask for a healing of the body, but ask for a healing of your perception, right? Of,
yeah.
Of the body, yeah. Which is pretty powerful, because most of the time, I know in medicine, it's always about heal the body. You know, what can I do to fix this body or fix this situation? So that took me a while to just sync with that, you know, to really,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if we look at the lesson, it says when it starts out, it says no one can heal unless he understands what purpose sickness seems to serve, and that you had referred to something. I think you were reading that it's not an accident; it is a choice. Now, how can we be with that and allow that to be helpful and not become a way that, you know, people start to feel like, oh, I'm doing this to myself, or, you know, what have I done? How can you help us there? Because that can be a common place where the ego mind can go.
Yeah. You're still there?
Yep, I'm here.
Yeah, well, Jesus' whole plan is basically to remove guilt from our mind. And so when he says these things, he's definitely not trying to make us feel guilty. He's just trying to give us the facts and reinstate our mind to its true power. So he may say that sickness is not an accident. Like all defenses, it's an insane device for self-deception, but there needs to be a part of the mind that really says, okay, well, I want to get in touch with that self-deception. If I really want to wake up to the truth of who I am and see that somehow I have a part to play in this so-called sickness, then okay, let's go at it. But he is definitely doing it from a point of view that, you know, emphasizes guiltlessness. And the only way to come into that experience of guiltlessness is to see that really it is the ego that is coming up with these plans to take our energy. And it is not actually that. The power of our mind, when given over to the spirit, you know, restores us. And there's a couple lines here I could even read.
Mm-hmm.
The universe remains unheeding of the laws by which you thought to govern it, and heaven has not bowed to hell nor life to death. You can but choose to think you suffer sickness or distort the truth in any way, but what is truth is apart from all of this. So he's trying to get us to see that who we are is actually unassailable, not sick, and has never been touched. But we do have a power that we can hide from that truth, and we have to learn to accept that power.
Yes, yes. And you had mentioned earlier this idea of being a victim. And so when there is sickness, there is a sense of, you know, this has happened to me, that I'm a victim of this pain or this suffering, or someone else seems to be helpless in front of something. And so that's so different from what you're saying about being powerful.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of times people, when they say, how is this sickness? What is going on here? You can actually just say two or three words. Sickness is function unfulfilled. And that's a beautiful line. Sickness is function unfulfilled. What it means is, if sickness is in your awareness, you're actually being called into a function that has not yet been fulfilled. We are all to be done through. We are all to be given over to the glory of God and our true inheritance.
But if we're afraid of that, we're afraid of our function. And I would think that almost everybody has had some kind of a glimpse or an inner voice calling them into something. And they might even have felt some fear, like, ooh, I don't want to do that. What am I going to lose? What am I being asked to do? And so we push away that guidance, or we push it, you know, back into the unconscious almost, and choose to live lives that could be considered just day-to-day, run-of-the-mill. And yet we know somewhere that there's something inside of us that can pull us through it all into a whole new world, a real world. And we have to live that function. We have to get into our miracle-working capability and be done through. I mean, that's my whole life right now. It's like, okay, spirit, like in the movie Lucy, you know, where would you have me go? What would you have me do? Who would you have me talk to? So that the miracle can constantly be kept in awareness.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. I love that. So sickness is function unfulfilled. And when you were saying function unfulfilled, my mind was going to Joseph Campbell and the hero's journey, sort of, that there's something majestic, you know, there's something that wants to be born through us. And it often is something creative. It's something that, you know, just comes through. And it's funny that we have a fear of that very thing that could set us free, that could relieve us, right?
Mm. Yep.
Yeah. I was watching the movie The Sphere last night because it was speaking to this idea of the power. And it's a sci-fi movie that I know Jason knows because I know about it through him and the MMT program. But it's this idea that, you know, I can feel it. I can feel that when I have some pain or something going on in the body, it's like I've moved to a level of more like of that kind of like I'm in victim. You know, I'm kind of powerless and helpless. And this is just my lot, or, you know, do the best with it. And then when something shifts and I move into that powerful creator, it's the symptoms go, they're gone. There's a real sense of, like, you know, that I am present. You know, I am with God. I am one with God. And it's so funny to me that, you know, so many times I've said this and I hear others say it, you know, I want this, or I want to be free, or, you know, look, I'm doing all this stuff to feel better, or I'm doing all this. But it's like there is a place where the sickness, and I'm just enlarging that. It could be being in an unfulfilled job or unfulfilled relationship or whatever. I'm just enlarging it. But there is something that we're choosing, like there's a purpose it's serving, right? Like that we can, you know, stay in that role, or we're afraid or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm actually thinking of a friend, we'll call her AC. She lives with us here at the monastery, and a few years ago she called saying, I want to come and live with you guys for a while. And I said, okay, great, come. She said, oh, I can't because, not just yet, because my shoulder is really hurting and I need to have surgery, but I got to keep this job to have the insurance to pay for the surgery. And so I said, oh, okay, well, just come when you're done. And she said, but I can't take it anymore. I need to be free now. I need to have my mind lifted up now. I said, okay, well, let's pray on this together. I said, do you feel that if you really got into what exactly you wanted to do right now, that it may be the shoulder pain will disappear? And she said, I have some doubts, but I really want to trust that if I follow my heart's calling right now, that is what will happen. So she went for it, and she moved out to Cincinnati with us. And not just when she arrived in Cincinnati, but the instant she decided to go to Cincinnati, the shoulder pain disappeared. And she didn't need the job to get the insurance to pay for a surgery that she never needed. It's going to keep her had to buy out of the whole system.
Yes, yes. Yeah, and we're going to be talking to David next week about his levels of mind, but I see it, how the desire for something other than freedom or God or love funnels into its own world. And when you stay in that frame, then nothing can happen. And it's almost like there's a quantum leap. I feel like something shifts. And then you realize that that whole train you were on was not going anywhere. And this is like a totally different train. It's not like you just change the color of the train or you modify it. It's like you just get off. Right? There's like this quantum, something, just a real shift.
Yep.
Yeah.
Beautiful. This is another line in the Course. I'm never upset for the reason I think. It's another way you could say, I'm never sick for the reason I think. And so, yeah, just by getting into our heart's calling and taking the steps and moving past the fears, the sicknesses just disappear.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was like a food issue. Yeah. I used to have this sugar addiction, and I tried for like 10 years with diets and, you know, traveling, and then, okay, I had this much sugar. Just like nothing really worked until I just kind of accepted my calling to join Messengers of Peace and be so fully used that within a month, all of a sudden I was like, yeah, whatever happened to that sugar addiction? It's just gone.
Wow. So if you were working with Jason with someone and they came and they had some issues with pain or whatever and they were called to work with you, what would that look like? What would that look like?
Well, it happens all the time. It's usually what we would call psychological pain, though. Like somebody who's just lost a relationship or is feeling called to leave one. And the first thing that we spend a lot of time on is actually clearing up whatever would take their mind energy to not be fully in this moment. And that that looks like, for example, debt. If people have debt or money that is owed to them, you know, assets or debts actually, then they have to clear that up, because a lot of times when they want to really immerse, like the bank will call or the person will call them and they have to like leave their space to go handle that. So it's first clear up debt. Then it's also taking a look at relationships. Are all the relationships in your life actually supporting your awakening? Or are they ones that are guilt-based and full of responsibility? Do you feel you owe somebody something? Do you feel that they owe you something? Are you still invested as a mother even though your kids are, say, 27 years old? Do you feel you have to run their life? Like, starting to take a look at the relationships. Are they actually in line with helping support your calling, or are they keeping you bound in the world? And that's a really tricky one, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because a lot of times people will say, well, my partner's really spiritual, but they don't study the Course, and they don't really want to talk to me about this, but they're just pure in their own way. And that's true. Everyone is pure. Everyone is the Christ. But what I'm talking about is to really go for this calling, to give yourself permission to have people around you that are consciously saying, I want to wake up. There's nothing more powerful to look at the blocks to love's awareness than a group of friends that are consciously going for it with you.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So the mind has to be prepared, in a sense, before it can do this deeper looking, right? It can't sort of, it's not a haphazard kind of thing.
No, the preparation is done by the Spirit or Jesus, but yeah, he actually says in the Course, he says, be not concerned with your own readiness, that's up to me.
Huh. Right. Yeah. And the idea of purpose is so beautiful because let's say you're in the middle of some sickness or some difficulty or something, and you know you're just getting started. I know that when I started to hear David talk about that and start to, you know, just hear all the other, yourself and the other messengers, like that word would come up again and again, I just started to use that and say, okay, whatever it is, I'm just going to give it the purpose for awakening. Like, just let this, right now,
mm-hmm.
be given this purpose. And I feel mm-hmm. like it would just orchestrate things. Like, mm-hmm. things would fall away or something else would come in or the clarity would come or the phone call that needed to be made or whatever, you know, whatever needed mm-hmm. to happen. And so that was very, because that was like, I felt like, you know, again, going deep into the mind and not making it about, like what you said, change the world, but like, what is my purpose? What is this for?
Mm-hmm.
And that was really, that's been really helpful. That's been really helpful.
Yeah, because everything you do comes from what you think. So if you're doing a certain set of things throughout the day, it's really coming from a thought system. And there's only two thought systems. There's the ego thought system and the spirit thought system. So if you really want to go for this, rather than even saying, okay, this is the life I've set up, bring purpose into it, the real prayer would be, okay, Spirit, bring it on. I'm going to give you everything. I will give you the life that I set up, the life that I'm unaware of, and you bring to me the relationships and life situations that will really allow me to wake up to my true identity, and I give everything to you. Now, that's a radical shifting of the guard, so to speak.
Yes. Yeah, and I kind of experienced that because when I got into the MMT program, I really, which is David's online mystical mind training, and I really saw, you know, radical changes, exactly, because the purpose became more and more central. And it can be unsettling, you know, at times, but it was what was needed. So, Jason, is there anything? I know we kind of have just let this be more free-flowing, but is there anything from that lesson that you feel inspired to kind of bring in before we kind of open it to maybe more question and answers?
Yeah. And again, it is not a thing that happens to you quite unsought, which makes you weak and brings you suffering. It is a choice you make, a plan you lay, when for an instant truth arises in your own deluded mind, and all your world appears to totter and prepare to fall. Now are you sick, that truth may go away and threaten your establishment no more. Now why I read that is because what I hear when I read that is the truth is right there, pounding on our hearts, like wanting to reach us and deliver us. And the sickness is just a tiny little trick to make us think we're weak. And that if it's properly perceived, it's actually a call to see the truth is right there.
And the truth could be, I mean, the truth is love, right? I mean, just to be held in love, just unconditional support and love.
Yeah, I mean, the line I'm staring at right now is, truth merely wants to give you happiness. Just wants us to be happy.
Yeah. So I feel, I know, I've had a lot of ideas about what God wants for me that were based on a very, you know, I don't know, just not a kind image, you know, just more like sacrifice, and this is what God wants for me, and I have to sacrifice, I have to give, and it's been stepping into that, no, it's not. It's happiness, it's love, it's joy. There is no sacrifice. So that has been a big mind shift.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a beautiful line I just read yesterday that God will give you all things that you need and replace them as long as you have need of them. However, anything that will hurt you, he will not bring, you know, into your awareness. So you can trust that if something's appearing for you over and over again, you need it. But there's no sense trying to say, I need this or I want this, because if it's not there, you don't really need it in the plan. And there's a rest in that.
Yes. Yes. I totally agree. I totally agree. Wow. Okay. So I'm gonna open the line so others can, you know, just ask you some questions. So let me just unmute the others. We've got a couple of people. Okay. So I think we have Seema, Dottie, and Mary. Would anyone want to ask a question?
Well, this is Dottie. I want to just say that it was a lot of information, and some of it struck me very deeply. But one of the things I wrote down, and I don't know if you said it or just something I heard, was letting go of the blocks, which I think are the ego thoughts that block the spirit. And I sometimes I'm not even sure I know what my blocks are. So I guess I'm wondering if you could talk a little bit, if that's something that you have some thoughts about.
Yeah. Thank you, Doug. Well, that's usually what I do in one-on-ones, actually. This is one of my first public joinings in a way. So this is fun, but in a one-on-one, we can actually join together so deeply and see what is presenting right now to hold love at bay. Like, I had a friend ask me last night. He said, okay, I'm ready. I said, what are you ready for? He said, I want to see the guilt in my mind and what's holding me back. And I said, well, I mean, we can make a prayer for that, but is there anything presenting, any niggling specifics? And he said, no. I said, well, then you're doing good right now. You know, you don't want to go after this by yourself, but maybe I could ask you the question then. Is there something that's presenting in your life right now in a specific way that we could go into?
Well, I guess to me, anytime I think of blocks, the first word that always comes to my mind is really fear of change. You know, I'm in my 60s, and my life has kind of fallen into this pattern you talked about. You know, you go to work, you do this, you do that. I've recently retired, so that's a huge change. And I guess I would say that I feel like my block is that I fear, though I'm not really sure what I fear.
Hmm. That's beautiful. I mean, that's the one block is fear, and it just takes specific forms for different people in different ways. And sounds like you're in a beautiful phase now where you've got a lot of time now to follow your heart and do whatever is really calling you. Is there anything that kind of repeats itself in your mind as do this or go here, or and then you say something like, oh, I can't do that?
Do this or go here. And no, I'm not sure. I mean, I sometimes feel like I'm being guided to do something. I retired from a job as a nurse practitioner, which I love. And I guess right now I feel like I'm trying to listen to where the Holy Spirit's guiding me to go next. You know, I know it's something. I'm just not sure what it is. And I recognize it's a process, and it's a journey, and everything that comes my way is guiding me to do something.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Well, we could even just make the prayer together that okay, Holy Spirit, if there's anything that you really want me to see and be a part of, to move through some blocks that I'm unaware of, please present it to me in a very obvious way. Like, make it obvious so that I can't miss it. I might be scared, but at least make it obvious. And maybe in the next few days, something will appear and will call you, either say or meet somebody or do something. And then what a block would be anything that would say, don't do that.
Okay. All right. All right. I appreciate that. I'll see what the next couple of days bring.
Yeah. It's a powerful prayer.
Yes. Yes, it is. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Seema, I have to cut out. I think my sister-in-law is calling me to get my granddaughter.
Okay. Okay. We'll talk to you later, Daddy. Thank you.
Thank you, Jason.
Thanks, Daddy.
Okay. So actually, Seema and Mary are on the call. So did either of you have anything you want to share?
I do. I have a question or, maybe some thoughts I would like to hear from either you or Jason. You mentioned the idea about asking God for help, asking Spirit for help, and giving everything to Him. And this is like a very radical way of doing things. And I've been trying to practice that throughout my life. And, obviously it's not as easy as it sounds. Like, you think you can give everything to Him, but maybe you don't trust it entirely. Maybe you feel like, again, those cycles will repeat again. So, again, some things clear up and some things persist. And as one of my friends says, whatever you resist will persist. So that's very true. My question is that how do you surrender completely everything to God? And then how do you know that you have truly surrendered? It's a big question, but I think that I'm just trying to... not just understand that, but live that.
That's beautiful. Well, definitely step by step. It's not all at once. Like, it's very rare that it's an Eckhart Tolle experience on a park bench where all of a sudden the eye dissolves and your next 2 years just in this bliss experience.
Mm-hmm.
For most, it's a slow. And I have found in my life that the Holy
Spirit... I'm sorry. Go on. Sorry.
Yeah,
okay.
That's okay. Using the things that are natural and easy, so what we would call wind. So if you like certain foods, like I'm thinking of Helen Schuckman, actually. Jesus wanted her to scribe this course in miracles. And what could have taken a year and a half actually took 7 years because of resistance. She was constantly saying, no, I'm not going to scribe right now. I'm going to do what I want to do. And she would go days and sometimes weeks, not listening to the instructions. And so Jesus had to build up trust with her. And how he would do that is he knew that she liked certain kinds of coats and stockings. And so he would say, okay, let's go shopping today. And rather than having her go around to all these stores and trying to save money, he would guide her to the exact store and the coat that he knew she would love and buy the coat for her or, use her money. And she was like, wow, you really do love me. Or same thing with green stockings. Like Helen Schuckman was the scribe of A Course in Miracles. And he would just start convincing her that he loves her. And so I feel like the Spirit meets each one of us in that way that, if you like a certain kind of movie, he might guide you
to a movie that really lifts your spirit. So you start to feel like this voice in your mind really has your best interest at heart.
Mm-hmm. Well, just to, yeah, I'm sorry. I'm not sure if Mary had a question, but I just want to carry on that thought for a moment. You know, because I do feel I can hear God speak to me in many ways because I've been connected for so many years. But, you know, when some things persist in your life, and I've felt a lot of things clear up, obviously through God's grace, but when some things persist in your life, is it just that, I struggle with this, well, I'm being stubborn, or is it that, you know, you're not ready for it yet, and God is gently guiding you, or you're being gently guided, and this is where you're at right now. So, I guess you have to accept the moment, you know, so this is where I am. I'm just trying to, understand why some things clear up and some things persist. And, maybe that's a useless thing, but I guess I'm trying to get to things that persist. I mean, understand and also clear them. And what you're saying about the guidance, I feel that every day in my life. I feel the grace every day. There are some days that are more uplifting than others, or moments that are more uplifting than others, but I still feel very blessed and very grateful. So, trying to connect to or trying to understand the obstacles that present themselves. And, I guess you mentioned to Mary, I think not Mary, some Dottie, about the prayer. And, I see it very clearly, but it's still persisting. So that's my question.
Yeah, well, the fear, you know, can take a form that repeats and is can seem very difficult to surmount. And I think then that becomes a prayer, like we did with Dottie, where, okay, I think I know this form that is repeating, but actually, if I'm really honest, I must not know what's really going on because it keeps repeating. So I need you to come into my mind, Spirit, and show me the conditions that bring this about. I need to see these conditions in a very obvious way because it's displaced right now. It's coming in a form that I cannot recognize what really needs healing. And that too can be a prayer then where a certain friend will arrive or you'll hear something on the radio and you're just now genuinely attuned to hear exactly what you need to maybe even just loosen it a little bit.
Yeah.
And it's yeah.
Yeah, no, that it helped a lot about what you said to Dottie and you said about the block. When that thought comes, like, don't do that, you know, because it's, yeah, no, that also helped a lot. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Mary, did you want to say anything?
I guess I'm the only one left, huh? I don't know, the whole thing is interesting about sickness because I feel like I've been in the victim mode and I catch myself being in the victim mode on and off because I had cancer a couple of years ago and I'm assuming that's from stress and all the emotional pain that came out of me. So a lot of times I'm not sure if I have physical symptoms because I'm in a different place. Coming out in my physical body. And living in fear, being fearful, on and off. I'm constantly trying to stay in the present moment. It's really hard.
Yeah, this, are you in CIMA's 40-day program?
Yeah, I'm in CIMA, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's... Start to refocus the mind in a new direction. And I think the biggest lesson I've learned through being here with David and Messengers of Peace is you can't actually do this, you know, not only by yourself. It's really one giant prayer. But just to keep our mind, somebody asked earlier, how do you surrender? It's like as soon as we think we know what the problem is, then we try to solve it. But if we can constantly keep our mind open to not even understand what the problem is, then the Spirit can show us the solution. There's actually a lesson called, I think it's 79, Let Me Recognize the Problem So It Can Be Solved. And at the bottom of the lesson, the key line is, to the extent you do not attempt to define the problem, is to the extent you will receive the answer.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Jason, I just wanted to ask you something. It was just coming up that sometimes we learn things and, you know, people talk about, okay, so just be in the present moment, be in the present moment. But I wonder if that can even be like a spiritual bypass a little bit. Like from what you've been sharing or what I often hear you when you're working with students, it's like, you're kind of always asking them and through them to me. I always feel you're asking us to, like be present to what is happening inside you. Like, just watch that, which is a little different than be in the present moment, be in the present moment. I don't know. There's something different about that. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, I'm actually thinking of when I was a youth minister for Science of Mind, you know, basically... there's one power, I'm one with that power. I give thanks for knowing this, and then you're supposed to fill in the blank, like what you want. And I would always fill in, I want the present moment. And so I was always trying to affirm the present moment, and yet it wasn't really working because I wasn't happy. And I needed help, and that's when David showed up at the church and undid the church and basically said, you know, you're not really here to try to bring in the present moment or bring in love. You're here to let me, the Holy Spirit, reveal the block to love's awareness. So it's counterintuitive in the beginning to take all your mind's energy and say, okay, show me what my blocks are. It's like, why would I do that? You know, we hear these things like, just focus on love, focus on truth. But if we don't know what love and truth is, how do you really focus on that?
Yes.
So just take all that energy and say, okay, show me the things that are stopping love. And then, lo and behold, you know, your day will be filled with people that are coming at you and demanding your attention or saying, do this, do that. And you might have to say no a lot to people because you need to say no to the blocks and really give yourself permission to let that love come in.
Yeah, so it is kind of tricky because I find a lot of students sometimes say that, and it's like, you know, it's like you said, there's something not authentic in the experience, that it's actually another block, it's like another defense against allowing that real healing to happen. So So that idea of watching the mind watching, actually is like kind of like the, it, how can I say it? It's like you don't bypass the blocks, but you watch the blocks. But in watching the blocks, you connect deeper to that place of awareness. And from there, the guidance starts to emerge. Would you agree that it could happen like that?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's done a lot through guidance. Like, I'm thinking of an example when I was joining Messengers of Peace. I woke up one morning. I was in Edmonton, Canada. I heard this guidance to write a letter to tell them I wanted to join completely. And I didn't write the letter right away. I thought, well, let's just make sure that's the spirit and let it settle. And then that day I got a parking ticket. I was late for appointments. All sorts of things just went really disjunctive. And I got back home and I'm like, what is going on? I mean, what are you doing? I'm doing what you asked me to do. And then the flash went through my mind. I asked you to write a letter. And so I wrote the letter and all the other things disappeared. You know, my anxiety, and I wasn't late anymore, and the parking ticket got handled. But as long as we're not following the guidance, we're actually choosing to follow the guidance of the ego, and that just leads to kind of complexity and confusion.
Yes, yes. Yeah, I have a feeling we could do another talk just about how to hear guidance.
Yes, yeah. I was going to say that. I was thinking the same thing.
Do you want to give us 3 minutes on that?
3 minutes?
Give us the fast version.
Well, he says, do only that. So he keeps it real simple. Do only that.
Yeah. Yeah, but there is this, I understand what Jason is saying, because I can find that even like, and I don't know if Jason will agree, but like even like household chores these days, like when to do this and when to call, and, you know, and now I'm doing work with this nonprofit and creating stuff, I'm really asking and learning that there's a time and a way for everything, that everything can be given over. And when I sidestep it, and like I was told to like go down and, you know, do one load of laundry or whatever, and then I'm doing the second or the third, like I can tell that, you know, it's that specific. It can be very, you know, in a flow. Right? You agree. Okay. You agree. Yeah.
Yeah, we have a lot of fun with the term add-on. Jesus is, do only this, and you do it, and you add a whole bunch of other things to it.
Yes, I like that add-on. Yeah, like you're told to, like today I was told to, like, you know, sit down and do the bills. Like, I had bills to do, and I said, okay, and it just worked beautifully. I just, you know, everything was there, and I was in the flow and everything, and then I said, oh, I'll start to do this email, and I could feel like I was doing something that wasn't really asked, like I was stepping into something. And the motivation was, I was trying to answer the student's response. And it was really because I wanted to kind of, I don't know, it was coming, I thought it was from love, but it wasn't from love. It was more from a place like, I just want to be nice to her and not think that she's, I don't know, have these thoughts about me. So it becomes very interesting when you watch your mind and see how much goes on to stop you from following the guidance and what the blocks are. I mean, I don't know. Like, I feel like it's like a 24/7 job, you know, that you're all the time watching.
Yeah, that's it. That's why you can't work in the world too easily once you say, okay, God's my boss. You know, you can maybe for a while, but eventually you need all your mind energy to pay attention to these inner prompts.
Yes, I'm learning that. I'm totally learning that. Yeah. Wow. So, Mary and Seema, anything else?
No, thank you. This has been really a lot of things that were discussed in the call resonated with what I'm going through. So, obviously not a coincidence, but been very helpful. Thank you.
I'm good, thank you.
So Jason, maybe we can have you come back. If you're open, we can sort of just put that out there.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Thank you very much. This has been great.
Thank you so much. And anything, just last comments or anything you'd like to share before we close?
No, I'm fine.
Or for Jason, if you want to, maybe a prayer as we close.
Sure, I can give a prayer.
Yeah.
Thank you, God, for the opportunity to join with my beautiful brothers and sisters And as we go about our day, may you guide us and lead us to see exactly what we need to see. I give you this day, God, it is yours to run for me. Amen.
Thank you. Perfect. Thank you, Jason. I love you. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Jason.
Love you so much.
Okay. Bye-bye.